Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive with us.
It's great to be back.
Today we're digging into this idea of hustle culture and, that whole go-go-go mentality, which seems like it's kind of everywhere these days.
It really is.
And we're using this super interesting article called Why Burnout Isn't a Badge of Honor, Redefining Success in a Hustle Culture.
Catchy title.
Yeah, as our kind of our guide for this conversation.
I like it.
So, It really makes you think, like, is all this hustling actually setting us up for failure in the long run?
Yeah, that's the big question, isn't it?
Yeah. One thing that really stood out to me from the article was this idea that companies who have actually shortened their work week often don't see a dip in productivity at all.
It's true. There's some really interesting research coming out about that.
Yeah. It's like,
you know what I think is really fascinating is that
it's kind of counterintuitive.
It is, or it really challenges that, you know, deep-seated belief that the more hours you work, the more you'll get done. But what we're seeing is that well-rested employees are often way more creative, more engaged, and ultimately that can lead to much better quality work.
So it's like working smarter, not harder.
Exactly.
So let's maybe unpack this whole hustle culture thing a little bit more.
Sure.
The article describes it as this almost like obsessive pursuit of work, you know, like 80-hour work weeks, bragging about lack of sleep on social media.
Oh, yeah, the sleep when you're dead crime.
Yeah, exactly. But it seems like it goes even deeper than that.
It does. It's almost become a way to, like, define our self-worth, you know?
Yeah.
We're constantly bombarded with images of people, you know, crushing it.
Right.
And it's so easy to internalize that if we're not always hustling. Mm-hmm. We're somehow falling behind.
Totally. It's almost like a badge of honor.
Yeah.
Like, who can suffer the most and still keep going?
It's a dangerous game.
Have you ever felt that pressure yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I think anyone with ambition has probably felt that pull at some point.
Right.
The key is, you know, recognizing that it can be a really toxic mindset and choosing to define success differently.
And speaking of success.
Yeah.
The article digs into this whole self-made myth.
Oh, yeah.
Like the idea that, you know, success is solely the result of hard work. And it kind of ignores any privileges or systemic advantages that someone might have.
It's a really pervasive myth and a dangerous one because it sets up these unrealistic expectations for people.
Right.
Not everyone has access to the same resources or opportunities.
Of course.
And attributing success solely to effort just completely ignores the systemic inequalities that are at play.
And it also totally ignores the potential for burnout.
Yeah.
Which the article emphasizes is not something to be admired.
Absolutely. Burnout is a state of chronic exhaustion.
Right.
It affects us physically, emotionally, and mentally.
It's not just feeling tired.
No, it's much deeper than that.
Yeah.
The World Health Organization actually defines it as having these three key dimensions.
Okay.
So you have feelings of energy depletion, increased mental distance from your job, and reduced professional efficacy.
So it's like you're exhausted. You're checked out.
Yes.
And you just can't get anything done.
Exactly.
And the article paints a pretty grim picture of the consequences, too.
It does.
Like weakened immune system, cardiovascular issues, anxiety, depression.
Yeah, it's a whole cascade of things.
Yeah, it's definitely not something to wear as a badge of honor.
Not at all.
So the article goes on to talk about how this whole hustle culture and the burnout that often results, it's not actually a new phenomenon.
It's true.
It traces it back to some pretty deep-seated historical values around productivity and economic growth.
You can definitely see that. Think about the Industrial Revolution and the rise of capitalism, the emphasis on efficiency and output. I mean, even the Protestant work ethic, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Which associated hard work with moral virtue.
Right. Like, it's almost a sign of good character.
These ideas are still so ingrained in our culture today.
Absolutely. And then you add in technology.
Oh, yeah.
And it feels like we're always on now.
Always connected.
Yeah. The article points out how this has just completely blurred the boundaries between work and life.
It's so true with smartphones and laptops.
Right.
We can work from anywhere at any time, which can be great for flexibility.
Yeah.
But it also makes it really hard to switch off and recharge.
Yeah. It makes me think about those companies with shorter work weeks.
Right.
Like maybe they're onto something when it comes to productivity.
It's definitely a model worth exploring.
What do you think?
I think if people are well rested and able to truly disconnect from work, they might actually be more focused and productive when they are working.
That's a good point.
So it's not about working less necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's about working better.
And that ties in perfectly
yeah.
to the article's main message, that burnout is not a badge of honor,
yes.
but a warning sign.
A big red flag.
That something needs to change.
It's a sign we should be paying attention to.
Yeah. And it's a sign that we need to take seriously.
Yes. Burnout isn't just about feeling tired.
Right.
It's a much deeper issue with really serious consequences, not just for individuals, but as the article highlights,
right.
for organizations and even society as a whole.
It makes sense. Like if people are burned out, it's going to impact their work.
Of course.
Their teams.
Yeah.
And just the overall atmosphere.
Exactly. It can lead to higher turnover.
Right.
Decreased morale and even stifle innovation.
Because
people are just too exhausted to contribute their best.
Yeah, they're just running on fumes.
Exactly. And the article doesn't stop there.
Okay.
It goes on to explore how this impacts society as a whole.
That's what I found really interesting.
It
connects burnout to this idea of perpetuating inequality.
It's a crucial point. Think about those who may not have access to things like paid time off
mm-hmm.
or mental health care.
Right.
They're often disproportionately affected by burnout.
Yeah.
And may feel pressured to work even harder, which only increases their risk.
Sounds like a vicious cycle.
It is.
So we've established that burnout is a serious problem.
It is.
But the article doesn't just leave us hanging there, right?
No, it doesn't.
It offers some suggestions for how to shift the narrative.
Okay.
And redefine what success can look like without all the hustling.
I like where this is going.
Yeah, so.
Let's hear it.
It talks about prioritizing well-being over productivity.
Okay.
Setting boundaries.
Good.
Celebrating rest.
I love that.
And advocating for systemic change.
That's a big one, but important.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there.
Here is.
So let's maybe start with prioritizing well-being.
Okay.
What does that actually look like in practice?
Well, it means recognizing that taking care of yourself isn't a luxury, but a necessity.
Right.
It's about building in regular breaks.
Okay.
Getting enough sleep. Eating nourishing foods.
Yeah.
And making time for activities that bring you joy.
So like actually prioritizing those things.
Yes. Making them non-negotiable parts of your day.
It's like that saying, you know, you have to put on your own oxygen mask first.
Exactly.
Before helping others.
You can't pour from an empty cup.
Exactly. But what about setting boundaries?
Okay.
That could be a real struggle for some people.
It can be. But boundaries are essential.
Yeah.
They protect our time and energy.
Yeah.
And it's a skill that takes practice.
So where do we start?
Maybe you start by setting small, achievable boundaries.
Okay.
Like deciding not to check work emails after dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Or letting colleagues know you're not available for meetings outside of certain hours.
So it's about being clear and upfront about your
Exactly. Thoughts. Yes. And sticking to those boundaries as much as possible.
Okay, that makes sense. But what about those times when you really can't say no? Like your boss asked you to work late on a project.
Right. Those are the times when it's crucial to communicate and find solutions that work for both you and your employer.
Swag.
Maybe you negotiate a later start time the next day.
Okay.
Or ask for help from a colleague to share the workload.
So it's about being proactive.
Yes.
And not just suffering in silence.
Exactly.
It's so easy to fall into that trap, though.
It is, especially when everyone around you seems to be glorifying the hustle.
Right. Which is why the article's emphasis on celebrating rest is so important.
I love that idea. We need to shift from viewing rest as laziness
right.
to seeing it as vital for our creativity and productivity.
I love that celebrating rest.
It
seems so counterintuitive.
It does, doesn't it?
In our go-go-go culture.
But it's so important.
What are some practical ways to incorporate more rest into our lives without feeling guilty about it?
Well, one strategy is to actually schedule it into your day, just like you would any important appointment.
So like block off time?
Yes, block off time for activities that help you relax and recharge.
And when you're resting, really be present in that moment.
Exactly. Put away your phone, step away from the computer and just be.
I like that. And the article also mentions things like mindfulness and meditation as being really helpful practices.
They can be incredibly powerful for cultivating calm and presence.
Have you found that to be true in your own experience?
Oh, absolutely. Even just a few minutes of meditation can make a big difference.
Hmm.
And there are some great apps and online resources that can guide you if you're new to meditation.
It's funny. I used to think meditation was just this kind of woo-woo thing.
Oh, no, right.
But I've actually started incorporating it into my routine.
Good for you.
And it has been surprisingly helpful.
I'm not surprised. It's about finding what works for you.
Yeah.
And remember, it doesn't have to be formal meditation.
Right.
You can bring that mindful awareness to everyday activities. Pay attention to your breath. Notice the sensations in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And really savor those simple pleasures in life.
It's about slowing down and being present in the moment.
Yes.
Rather than constantly rushing toward the next thing.
I think that's something a lot of us can relate to.
For sure. But I want to shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
And talk about the bigger picture.
Yeah.
The article also talks about advocating for systemic change, right?
It does. And this is where we start to address the root causes of burnout.
Okay.
It's about recognizing that burnout isn't just an individual problem.
Right.
It's a systemic one.
Yeah.
We need to push for changes in our workplaces and in our society as a whole.
Okay.
That prioritize well-being over productivity.
So what would that look like in practice?
Well, it can feel daunting.
Yeah.
But remember, every big change starts with small steps.
True.
You can talk to your colleagues about these issues.
Okay.
Raise awareness within your organization and support companies that are already prioritizing well-being.
So it's about creating that ripple effect.
Exactly.
Starting with our own actions and expanding outward.
And on a larger scale, we can advocate for things like shorter work weeks, more generous parental leave,
okay,
access to mental health care, and a culture that values rest and relaxation.
So it's about pushing for changes that benefit everyone.
Absolutely. And not just those who are already privileged or in positions of power.
It's about shifting our values as a society.
Yes.
And recognizing that people are more than just their output.
Exactly.
And that their worth isn't tied to their productivity.
Well said.
The article mentions some companies that have actually successfully implemented shorter work weeks without sacrificing productivity.
It's true.
Can you tell us a little bit more about those?
Sure. Companies like Basecamp and Buffer
have
been pioneers in this area.
I've heard of Basecamp.
They've shown that it's possible to have a thriving business while prioritizing employee well-being.
Mm.
Basecamp, for example, has a four-day work week during the summer months.
That sounds amazing.
It is. And Buffer has a fully remote workforce with unlimited vacation time.
Wow.
And they found that when employees feel trusted and supported, they're more engaged, more productive, and more likely to stay with the company long term.
So it's really a win-win situation.
It is.
Employees are happier and healthier.
Yeah.
And the company benefits from that. Increased productivity and loyalty.
Absolutely.
It's like, what a concept.
I know, right?
But I imagine there are challenges to implementing these kinds of changes, especially in more traditional work environments.
Sure, there will always be resistance to change.
Yeah.
But the evidence is mounting that a more balanced approach is not only possible, but it's actually beneficial for both individuals and organizations.
It's about moving away from that scarcity mentality.
Yeah.
Like the idea that there's never enough time.
The tyranny of the urgent.
Yes, exactly. And embracing a more abundant mindset.
I love that.
The belief that there's enough for everyone to thrive. But making that shift can be tough.
It can.
Any advice for people who are struggling to let go of that hustle mentality?
It's a process and it takes conscious effort.
Yeah.
Start by questioning the messages we've internalized about work and success.
Okay.
Ask yourself, is it really true that my worth is tied to my productivity?
Hmm.
Do I have to sacrifice my health and well-being to achieve my goals?
Right.
What if there's another way?
What if success could look like having more time for ourselves?
Yes.
For our loved ones.
Exactly.
For our passions.
What if it could look like feeling rested, energized, and fulfilled?
It seems like this article is really challenging us to rethink what it means to live a good life.
It is. It's a call to reclaim our time, our energy, and our sanity in a world that constantly demands more.
We have a choice.
We do.
We can continue to buy into the myth of hustle culture.
Right.
Or we can choose a different path.
A path that prioritizes well-being, balance, and authenticity.
It's about creating a life that feels good on the inside, not just one that looks good on the outside.
I love that. And with that, I think it's time to move into the final part of our deep dive, where we'll wrap up this conversation and leave you with some practical steps you can take.
Sounds good.
To start breaking free from the hustle mentality.
Okay.
And redefine success on your own terms.
Stay with us. And we're back. And I don't know about you, but just having this conversation, I'm already feeling a little more mindful.
I know what you mean. It's like a breath of fresh air, isn't it?
It is. Like we're giving ourselves permission to actually relax.
Exactly.
But I think the question a lot of people have is like, how do we actually put all of this into practice?
It's one thing to talk about it.
Right.
But it's another to actually do it.
Especially when we're so used to being on all the time.
It's like we've forgotten how to slow down.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So the article offers some concrete strategies
for
pushing back against hustle culture.
I like it.
And we touched on prioritizing well-being, setting boundaries, and celebrating rest.
Those are all key.
But I think what a lot of listeners might be wondering is like, how do we actually implement these things in our daily lives?
It can feel overwhelming for sure.
Yeah. Any practical tips?
Absolutely. Let's start with prioritizing well-being.
Okay.
This might mean scheduling time for exercise,
okay,
meditation, or even just getting out in nature.
Getting out in nature is a big one for me.
Me too. It can really help to clear your head.
Yeah. And it can also be as simple as making sure you're getting enough sleep.
Oh, yeah. Sleep is so crucial.
Eating healthy and staying hydrated.
The basics, but they're so important.
Yeah, like actually making those things non-negotiable parts of your day.
Exactly. Put it in your calendar.
Yeah, I love that. Like actually putting it on your calendar.
It's like you would a work meeting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What about setting boundaries?
Boundaries are tough.
They can be, especially if you're used to being a people pleaser.
But they're all about protecting our time and energy. And it's a skill that takes practice like anything else.
So where do we start?
You can start by setting small, achievable boundaries.
Okay.
Maybe it's deciding not to check work emails after dinner.
Oh, that's a good one.
Or letting colleagues know that you're not available for meetings outside of certain hours.
So it's about being clear and upfront about your limits.
Exactly. And then sticking to those boundaries.
Right. As much as possible.
As much as possible. Because there will be times when you have to be flexible.
Of course, but it's about having that baseline,
right?
Those boundaries in place.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. But what about those times when you really can't say no?
Like when your boss asks you to work late on a project?
Yeah.
It happens. Those are the times when communication is key.
Okay.
Maybe you negotiate a later start time the next day.
Okay.
Or you ask a colleague for help to share the workload.
So it's about being proactive.
Yes.
And finding solutions that work for everyone involved.
Exactly. Not just gritting your teeth and bearing it.
It's about having those open and honest conversations.
Right. Rather than just silently suffering and burning yourself out.
That's something I've definitely struggled with in the past.
I think a lot of us have. It's so easy to fall into that trap.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And speaking of common experiences, let's talk about this idea of celebrating rest.
I love that.
Our culture is so focused on productivity.
It's true.
That we've almost forgotten how to actually relax.
It's like we feel guilty when we're not being productive.
Right. Like we're somehow failing if we're not constantly doing something.
And the article really emphasizes that rest is not a reward.
Right.
It's a necessity.
Yeah. It's essential for our physical and mental health.
Absolutely.
It allows us to recharge, to process our emotions, and to come back to our work with a fresh perspective.
It's like hitting the reset button.
Exactly. Yeah. So how do we actually incorporate more rest into our lives?
Well, we talked about scheduling it in.
Right.
Block off time in your day for activities that help you relax and recharge.
Whether it's reading.
Mm-hmm. Taking a nap.
A nap can be amazing.
You can going for a walk or spending time with loved ones.
Whatever brings you joy.
Yeah, it's about making that time for yourself non-negotiable.
Exactly. Yeah. Just like you would with any other important commitment.
Okay, so we've scheduled it in.
Mm-hmm.
Now what?
Now you actually have to rest.
I know. Easier said than done, right?
It can be. But when you are resting, really be present in that moment.
Okay.
Put away the step away from the computer and just allow yourself to be.
That's a good reminder. And the article also mentions mindfulness and meditation.
Yes.
As being really helpful.
They can be incredibly powerful.
For managing stress and promoting relaxation.
Even a few minutes of meditation each day can make a big difference.
Have you found that to be true in your own experience?
Oh, absolutely. There are also some great apps and online resources that can guide you if you're new to meditation.
It's funny. I used to think meditation was just this kind of woo-woo thing.
Me too. I thought it was just for like yogis and monks. But I've actually started incorporating it into my routine.
Good for you.
And it has been surprisingly helpful.
It's about finding what works for you.
Yeah.
And remember, it doesn't have to be formal meditation.
Right.
You can bring that mindful awareness to everyday activities.
Like what?
pay attention to your breath.
Okay.
Notice the sensations in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Really savor those simple pleasures in life.
Like that first cup of coffee in the morning.
Yes, exactly. Or a warm shower or a hug from a loved one.
It's about slowing down and being present in the moment.
Rather than constantly rushing toward the next thing.
And appreciating those little things.
Absolutely. I think that's something a lot of us can relate to.
Totally. But I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about the bigger picture.
Okay.
The article also talks about advocating for systemic change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It does. And this is where we start to address the root causes of burnout.
Okay.
It's about recognizing that burnout isn't just an individual problem,
right,
but a systemic one. We need to push for changes in our workplaces and in our society as a whole.
Okay.
That prioritize well-being over productivity.
So what would that look like in practice?
It can feel daunting.
It does.
But remember, every big change starts with small steps.
Yeah, like what?
Talk to your colleagues about these issues.
Okay.
Raise awareness within your organization and support companies that are already prioritizing well-being.
So it's about creating that ripple effect.
Exactly.
Starting with our own actions and expanding outward.
Right. And on a larger scale, we can advocate for things like shorter work weeks.
Okay.
More generous parental leave.
Mm-hmm.
Access to mental health care and a culture that values rest and relaxation.
It's about pushing for changes that benefit everyone.
Exactly. Not just those who are already privileged or in positions of power.
It's about shifting our values as a society.
Yes.
And recognizing that people are more than just their output.
And that their worth isn't tied to their productivity.
The article mentioned some companies that have actually successfully implemented shorter work weeks.
They have.
Without sacrificing productivity.
It's true.
Can you tell us a little bit more about those?
Sure. Companies like Basecamp and Buffer have been pioneers in this area.
I've heard of Basecamp.
They've demonstrated that it's possible to have a thriving business while also prioritizing employee well-being.
So they're not just talking the talk.
Right.
They're walking the walk.
That's great. So tell me more about Basecamp.
Basecamp, for example, has a four-day work week during the summer months.
That sounds amazing.
It is. And Buffer has a fully remote workforce with unlimited vacation time.
Wow. That's pretty progressive.
It is. And they found that when employees feel trusted and supported, they're more engaged, more productive, and more likely to stay with the company long term.
So it's really a win-win situation.
Yeah.
Employees are happier and healthier.
Yeah.
And the company benefits from that increased productivity and loyalty. Exactly. It's about creating a more sustainable and humane way of working.
So it is possible.
It is. It's not some utopian ideal.
But I imagine there are challenges to implementing these kinds of changes, especially in more traditional work environments.
Sure. There will always be resistance to change.
Yeah.
But the evidence is mounting that a more balanced approach is not only possible, but it's actually beneficial for both individuals and organizations.
So it's about shifting our mindset.
Yes.
It's about moving away from that scarcity mentality.
Yeah.
Like the idea that there's never enough time.
Right. Like we're all on this treadmill and we can't get off.
Yes, exactly. And embracing a more abundant mindset.
That's the key.
The belief that there's enough for everyone to thrive.
Abundance, not scarcity.
But making that shift can be tough.
It can.
Any advice for people who are struggling to let go of that hustle mentality?
It's a process, and it takes conscious effort.
Okay.
Start by questioning the messages we've internalized about work and success.
Like what kinds of messages?
The messages that tell us we have to be constantly productive.
Okay.
That our worth is tied to our output.
Right.
That we have to grind and hustle to achieve our goals.
It's like we've been programmed to think that way.
It is. And it's time to reprogram ourselves.
So how do we do that?
Start by asking yourself some questions.
Okay.
Is it really true that my worth is tied to my productivity?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to sacrifice my health and well-being to achieve my goals?
Good questions.
What if there's another way?
What if success could look like having more time for ourselves?
Yes.
For our loved ones.
Exactly.
Or our passions.
What if it could look like feeling rested, energized, and fulfilled?
It seems like this article is really challenging us to rethink what it means to live a good life.
It is. It's a call to reclaim our time, our energy, and our sanity in a world that constantly demands more.
So we have a choice.
We do.
We can continue to buy into the myth of hustle culture.
Right.
Or we can choose a different path.
A path that prioritizes well-being, balance, and authenticity.
A path that leads to a more fulfilling and sustainable life.
Exactly.
It's about creating a life that feels good on the inside.
Yes.
Not just one that looks good on the outside.
Well said. And I think that's a great place to transition to the final part of our deep dive.
Okay.
Where we'll wrap things up and leave you with some practical steps you can take.
Sounds good.
To start breaking free from the hustle mentality.
Okay.
And redefine success on your own terms.
I'm looking forward to it. Stay with us. And we're back for the final part of our deep dive into hustle culture and burnout. I don't know about you, but this conversation has been really eye-opening for me.
Yeah, it's really made me think about things differently.
Like we've explored, you know, the origins of this whole always-on mentality.
Right, and how it's become so ingrained in our culture.
The serious consequences of burnout.
Which are often overlooked or even celebrated.
Yeah, and most importantly, some ways to actually break free from this cycle.
And create a more sustainable and fulfilling life.
So as we wrap up.
Okay.
Let's talk about some concrete steps we can take to start putting all of this into action.
Yeah. How do we actually make these changes?
Where do we even begin?
It starts with awareness, you know?
Okay.
We need to recognize how hustle culture is showing up in our own lives and what impact it's having on our well-being.
So like taking a step back and really looking at
our
habits and our behaviors.
And once we see it clearly.
Yeah.
We can start to challenge those ingrained beliefs and habits.
It's almost like waking up from a dream.
It is, isn't it?
And realizing like, wait a minute.
Right.
I don't have to live this way.
We have a choice.
And one of the most powerful choices we can make is to start setting boundaries.
Boundaries are key.
Yeah, like turning off notifications after work hours.
That's a big one.
Saying no to requests that are going to overload us.
Yeah, learning to say no is so important.
And scheduling time for ourselves.
Right, make it non-negotiable.
It's all about respecting ourselves and our needs.
Which can feel really radical in a culture that prioritizes overwork and self-sacrifice.
It feels almost selfish.
It does, but it's not. It's about self-preservation.
What else can we do on a personal level to combat burnout?
Well, we've talked about prioritizing our well-being.
Right.
And that means making time for things that nourish us.
Okay.
Whether that's exercise, meditation, spending time in nature, or just taking a few moments to breathe deeply and relax.
And making those things a priority.
Yes, not an afterthought.
Right. It's about shifting from that I'll take care of myself later mentality.
I've got to deserve to take care of myself now.
And what about those of us who work in environments that don't really support work-life balance?
That's a tough one.
How do we advocate for change within those organizations?
It starts with having open and honest conversations with your colleagues and supervisors.
It's like bringing it up.
Yes. Share your concerns about burnout
and
the need for a more sustainable work culture.
And maybe looking for opportunities to implement small changes.
Like encouraging walking meetings or creating a dedicated space for relaxation.
It's about planting those seeds of change.
You're right. And demonstrating that there's a different way of doing things.
And if those conversations don't really lead to any meaningful change, it might be time to consider whether that work environment is truly aligned with your values and your well-being.
That's right. Sometimes the best way to advocate for change is to vote with your feet.
So like leaving that job.
It might be support companies that prioritize employee well-being.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to walk away from those that don't.
It's about recognizing our worth and not settling for less than we deserve.
Absolutely.
And on a societal level, what can we do to kind of shift this whole narrative around work and success?
Well, we need to challenge the glorification of hustle culture.
Right.
And this idea that our worth is tied to our productivity.
So like pushing back against that.
Exactly. We can do this by supporting policies that promote work-life balance.
Okay.
Like paid family leave, affordable childcare, shorter work weeks. Mm-hmm. And we can also speak out against the normalization of overwork.
So using our voices?
Yes, and celebrating those who are prioritizing their well-being.
Yeah, it's about creating a culture that values people over profits.
Yes.
Rest over relentless productivity.
I love that.
And a more holistic definition of success.
Right, one that includes well-being, purpose, and connection.
Exactly. It's about remembering that we are human beings.
Not human doings.
Yes. We deserve to live lives filled with joy and meaning.
And a sense of balance.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, we want to leave you with a question to ponder.
Okay, hit us with it.
What would your definition of true success look like if it wasn't based on constant hustling?
That's a good one.
What would it look like to live a life that feels good on the inside?
Yeah.
Not just one that looks good on the outside.
That's the million-dollar question.
We encourage you to explore those questions.
Yes.
To challenge your assumptions.
And to create a life that is truly aligned with your values.
And your well-being.
You have a choice.
That's it for our deep dive into hustle culture and burnout.
It's been a great conversation.
It has. We hope this conversation is giving you some food for thought.
Yeah, and some practical tools to start creating a more balanced and fulfilling life.
Thanks for joining us.